Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
What's better than one win? Three wins. With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit StraightTalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Georgia set a record for early voting when it began on Tuesday. 328,000 people cast their ballots. In Michigan, another swing state, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson has unveiled an online dashboard that's providing real-time statistics about voter turnout, trends, and registration. She says it'll help combat disinformation.
We've all seen the ways that data taken out of context can be used to distort the truth. That will escalate in the weeks ahead. And we know that as it does, voters will become more and more frustrated as election misinformation becomes increasingly noisier.
The Israelis say aid is flowing again into northern Gaza after U.S. officials threatened to hold up weapons shipments if it didn't happen. The extended family of Lyle and Eric Menendez advocating for the brothers' release from prison as California prosecutors review new evidence to determine whether they should still be serving life sentences for killing their parents. This is ABC News. An Italian Navy ship is docked in Albania, carrying the first group of migrants intercepted in international waters.
An Italian vessel tying up in port. On board, 16 men, 10 from Bangladesh and 6 from Egypt, who were rescued at sea after departing from Libya. Swamped by a migrant crisis, Italy's implementing this new plan of transferring such migrants to Albania for the processing of would-be asylum seekers. Italy's opened two centers there for adult men, where up to 900 can be housed in the next few weeks. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
The hidden annex where Anne Frank hid from Nazi occupiers during World War II is heading to New York. A full-scale replica of part of the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam is being built and will be shipped for a show at the Center for Jewish History in Manhattan. Anne Frank, the exhibition, opens January 27th, International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Every day, Cintas service reps help businesses get ready for the workday. They provide freshly laundered workwear delivered every week. Mats, mops, restroom and cleaning supplies. First aid and safety products to help your employees stay safe. They even test and inspect fire extinguishers and emergency lights. Cintas helps keep your business running smoothly. See what Cintas can do for you. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Jorge, let's bring the nails
gun
over here.
Jose stands tall atop his sustainable flooring company.
Totally. It's renewable and moisture resistant, but we have several green options too. Or we got some beautiful reclaimed oak.
Floored by his success, he needs to hire more installers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayla. Barack Obama will be in Madison next week.
The former two-term Democratic president will be here on Tuesday, joined by Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Their joint appearance timed to coincide with the first day of in-person absentee voting in Wisconsin, just 2 weeks out from Election Day. The Harris-Walz ticket is counting on strong Democratic turnout in Madison and Dane County, as well as in Milwaukee, where the vice president has a campaign event scheduled for this Thursday in Madison, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Attorney General Josh Call is issuing a reminder that threatening poll workers is illegal.
Call says it's essential to protect the right to vote, and the Wisconsin Department of Justice is committed to making sure the state has a safe and secure election. Wisconsin law prohibits anyone from using or threatening force to compel someone to vote, keep them from voting, or to influence their voting decision. State law also prohibits anyone from using duress or fraud to impede or prevent someone from voting. Call says threatening behavior towards election officials is also a crime. If you witness or are subjected to election intimidation or threats, alert an election official and call local law enforcement. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
At least six Wisconsin farms are giving away thousands of chickens after Iowa-based processor Pure Prairie Poultry abruptly closed last week. Wisconsin Agriculture Secretary Randy Romanski says it's been challenging to find out how many Wisconsin farmers have been impacted.
We've asked for some really specific information from the company about how many growers, how best to contact them so we can get them in touch with the Farm Center. And so far, we haven't gotten complete information about that.
Farmers who need assistance can contact the Wisconsin Farm Center at 800-942-2474.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We're warming things up today under sunny skies and calm south winds. High temperatures will soar to the low 60s. With not a cloud in the sky tonight, temperatures will dip to the mid-30s. Then tomorrow, we get shoved nice and warm into the upper 60s. But those winds get feisty. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. It's 56 degrees at our studios.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thank you for joining us here for the show today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you along on the program, powered by Cenex. With harvest season in full swing, you can count on Cenex Stores high-quality lubricants to keep your operation moving. Power through the season with Cenex. Go to your nearest store or Cenex.com for more. Coming up here on the show today, we're going to talk ag equipment numbers in just a moment with Kurt Blades from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. In segment two, we're going to get an update on sunflower crops and more with John Sandbocket from the National Sunflower Association. The last USDA report had some updates to sunflower production. We're going to touch on that and more. Coming up after the bottom of the hour in segment three, we'll talk cattle issues with Justin Tupper, the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. And then in segment four, we'll close out the show. We'll talk with our friends at Cenex. Austin Robita will join us for a conversation. All that and more coming up here today on AOA. Well, let's kick things off. Joining us now for a conversation as we take a look at the latest September 2024 Ag Tractor and Combine Sales Report. He's Senior Vice President at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, Kurt Blades. Kurt, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on this morning, Jesse.
You bet. You bet. It's good to hear from you again. Let's take a look at some of these numbers, and let's start with the U.S. side. Looked like a little bit of a decrease in ag tractor sales. U.S. combine sales also saw a drop compared to 2023. So walk us through some of these numbers. What did we see in September, Kurt?
Well, I'll tell you, Jesse, there's no way to paint this as a rosy picture. Equipment sales were down in all categories, or tractors and combines were down in all categories for the month of September. Both when you look at year over year and year to date, both are down pretty sharply. And that's just a reflection of the overall ag economy and sort of that malaise that's out there in farm country right now.
Well, and I think about that. It's obviously a concern, and it's something we've been talking about quite a bit. I have to wonder, you look at combine sales down a little over 40% compared to last year, Ag tractors down almost 20% compared to last year. And then you think about, okay, are we seeing supplies stack up on dealer lots? Are we seeing stuff move to auction, et cetera, et cetera? It's an interesting situation to your point here as we near the end of the year, Kurt.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the dealer lots and the supply. I mean, I think when you and I talked probably 6 months ago, we were starting to see some of the headlines of manufacturers really beginning to adjust their supply to meet the demand in anticipation of this the second half of the year slowdown that we're experiencing right now. So I think they were really, you know, quick to jump on at supply to make sure we're not oversupplying those dealer lots. Yeah, having said that, you are starting to see some of that inventory stack up on dealer lots, and certainly both on the news side as well as on the used side. And as your listeners know, it's really important to make sure that the supply meets the demand. Because the last thing we want is a lot of inventory sitting out there on a dealer lot, or unfortunately, maybe a devalued set of equipment out there in farm country, because that affects a lot of things, including the bottom line of every farmer. So I think we've been trying to manage that in anticipation of these slowdowns, but it's still very real because, you know, we're in a volatile economy right now with a lot of uncertainties.
I wonder, we've been talking with a lot of heads at various ag equipment manufacturers here in the last month or two, and they've indicated to me that they're not necessarily slowing down production and release of new models of equipment, things like that. I'm just wondering, from your perspective, you talk with a wide range of folks in the equipment industry, Kurt. Are you hearing any chatter that they might start to slow down some of these new releases and new technology with the way things are right now?
You know, honestly, it's a good question, and I haven't heard any word of that at all. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I think, you know, farmers and agriculture and certainly equipment manufacturers, we love being innovative. And there's a lot of technology that is just on the cusp of being released. So one way to, you know, help a farmer work their way through times when it's a little bit more tough is to take advantage of that technology. I think all the manufacturers are not holding back on both the research as well as the release of the new technology, because you know that may be the thing that makes the difference between a farmer making money and remaining competitive on a global basis and not, is having that advanced technology and really being operationally efficient.
We're talking with Kurt Blades, Senior Vice President at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. On the Canadian side of the ledger, I know the numbers in Canada typically kind of move in lockstep to some degree with the U.S. numbers. What did we see north of the border last month, Kurt?
Yeah, the Canadian market and the U.S. market tend to work kind of hand in glove. Sometimes the, you know, one country might have a little bit more of a bump in a region or another. There have been parts of Canada, especially like Western Canada, that's really, you know, it's had some tough economic times for a while now, and so we're seeing basically the same thing in both the U.S. and Canada in terms of down. Combines down about 50% and tractors down 25% for the month of September. Kind of across the board. I think, again, this is more of an indication of, you know, we are in a global environment and commodity prices are depressed right now. We do have some real global unrest that is impacting, you know, sort of, you know, everyone's, you know, how they feel about the future. We've always got weather patterns. And then we've got this thing that's happening in a month from now with an election that is sort of just looming in everyone's mind, not to mention the lack of a farm bill. You kind of stack all those things up. Obviously, these are U.S. issues, but they do affect the rest of the world, and we're seeing that sort of manifest itself in those Canadian numbers as well.
Well, and all those issues that you mentioned there, too, I'll throw in there as well, the Fed and their moves with interest rates, and still, even with a interest rate cut and a slight change in policy, there still seems to be plenty of concern about the overall economy, not just the U.S., but globally, Kurt.
Well, there's two questions there that we can respond to. The first is the interest rates. I mean, a particular four-wheel drive or a combine is, you know, we're north of $500,000. So typically those are financed pieces of equipment, considered pieces of equipment. So, you know, interest rates do impact, you know, maybe the purchase of that, or maybe it's a, having a farmer set on their hands, maybe another year before they buy new things because of those interest rates. So that figures into it. But to the second part of your question, I mean, it is just sort of the overall economy. We're seeing just, you know, on our other side of our business on the construction side was going gangbusters the first half of the year. We started to see some slowdown. And I think some of it is kind of global economy related, but also is that same uncertainty that we're dealing with on the ag side. Everybody's sort of sitting on the sidelines for a little bit until we have just a little bit more certainty with the election and with some of the geopolitical things. That's certainly starting to have its impact on the overall economy, and the ag economy is just no different.
You can learn more at AEM.org with that. Senior Vice President, Association of Equipment Manufacturers, Kurt Blades. Good to talk with you again, Kurt. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel. Up next, we'll talk with John Sandbocken with the National Sunflower Association right after this.
I was able to buy my first home using the VA Home Loan Guarantee without having to put down a down payment. I was able to graduate from college using the post 9/11 GI Bill debt-free. I was able to enroll in VA healthcare, and I know that VA is going to be there for me when I need it. My service was then, and my benefits are now.
Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA, powered by Cenex. Managing your business while facing harsh conditions can be tough. Cenex Stores premium diesel fuels can help you power through, especially during a busy and tough harvest season. Invest in premium diesel and keep your equipment moving. Go to cenex.com or your nearest Cenex location for more information. Well, right now, let's talk about what's happening in the sunflower industry. USDA releasing its first sunflower production forecast here in the latest October round of reports. Let's talk about that and more. Joining us now, Executive Director for the National Sunflower Association, John Sambachan, is with us. John, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, Jesse, and thank you for having me on your program today.
Absolutely. Walk us through this this sunflower production forecast and this report as a whole. Plenty of numbers in there to kind of sift through. Give us some of the key ones that we need to be paying attention to, John.
Well, you know, this year in the sunflower business, we did have reduced acres. And, you know, right last spring, you know, our prices were not really strong and it didn't attract a lot of acres. We had two really large crops in 2022, 2023, and the market just could not chew through all that seed. And so it just tended to depress prices, you know, earlier this spring. But so that sort of set us back on our planted acres. And when you look at overall production, you know, the number is we're reduced about 47% from where we were last year's crop. But yield-wise, South Dakota anticipates that they're going to be setting a new state record for average yield for oils and confections. The North Dakota number is only off 1 pound from last year. Minnesota is over a ton. Just some really good yields out there for those folks that did plant sunflower this year.
Well, and looking through some of these numbers too and hearing that, and you know, you mentioned acreage down, but it just feels like a really good return on what was planted, John.
You know, definitely. You know, we bottomed out in prices in March at about, you know, $12 a hundredweight at the crush plants. And, you know, we're sitting right now at 18, 1850, 1865 in most cases. So, you know, we've had just a really nice rebound, obviously. And it's, you know, it's a situation that as an industry, you don't want to go through that having, you know, to struggle for acres, but it's something that was kind of needed to, you know, work through the stocks that we have and then and reset the market so that we're going to be, you know, in a really good position for 2025.
Looking as well, you mentioned the Dakotas, Minnesota, that's kind of the key production states, but there are other states of the U.S. that do have sunflower production. Did anything major stand out to you when you look at, say, Colorado, Kansas, California, Texas, Nebraska, et cetera? Any big changes with those state numbers?
Well, you know, obviously in those states that you mentioned, other than California, you know, drought has been just so severe all season. You know, in the northern plains up in the north, we started out kind of wet and now we're very dry. But, you know, Kansas, Colorado, Texas, they've been just fighting. In Nebraska also been just fighting these dry conditions all year. So, you know, the yields where they came in, you know, that was kind of anticipated. You know, it just one of those things that, you know, sunflower is a very drought tolerant crop, but in some cases the drought can be so severe that even, you know, even the yields can't, you know, really recover. So not a surprise in those areas.
You were talking to me a little bit about prices before we came back from the commercial break. Let's go there. And you made the comment to me that while many of these other markets have been declining, prices for sunflowers have been going up. Talk about that a little bit, John.
Well, you know, and I mentioned it earlier, and that is we have been on the uptrend ever since we hit the bottom in March. You know, prices have been, we've been sort of quietly working our way up. And, you know, for old crop, like I said, in some cases it's 1850, 1865 at the crush plants, you know, to be delivered. And in some of the areas, 1950, you know, depending in the high plains, some of those areas. And, you know, with new crop, you know, they rolled out originally at like about $20. And now we're sitting at $21.50 for new crop right now for cash contracts and $21 for Act of God contracts. And so, you know, it's been a nice upward trend. And part of that obviously is due to the fact that production is going to be lower this year. And, you know, even though we did carry in a pretty good size amount of stocks, I mean, by a year from now in September of 25, I mean, the bins are going to be empty. I mean, they'll be sweeping the bottoms. There's really not going to be anything left. So the industry definitely is going to be competitive this year to try to get acres because, you know, we're going to need it to, you know, fulfill the demands of our customers.
Talking with John Sambachan, Executive Director for the National Sunflower Association here today on AOA. Put this in perspective globally, John. I know we have plenty of challenges around the world that – can play a role in the broader markets here for oil seeds, et cetera. What are some things you're watching globally, and how is it or is it not affecting the U.S. markets right now?
Well, you know, the situation in the Black Sea region, they've also had severe drought this year. Russia, Ukraine, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, that whole area, and even into Turkey, their sunflower production is down about 20-25%. And, you know, that doesn't probably sound like a lot, but when you consider that they export about 75% of all the sunflower oil that's consumed in the world, I mean, it's a pretty significant hit. And it's one of those things that has been supporting the U.S. market here on our oil values and seed prices. And that is, you know, potentially we might have some opportunities to pick up some sales in other markets because the Ukrainians and the Russians won't be able to provide oil, you know, to all their customers. So it's a good positive trend for sunflower. And that is, it opens up some other opportunities for us.
I wonder too, I know Tuesday we saw a pretty strong NOPA crush number, and we saw some stocks for soybean oil were a bit lower. So thinking about just the different effects of some of those different crush numbers in terms of using sunflower oil, and then you think about all the other different oil seeds around the globe, palm oil, soybean oil, et cetera, et cetera. How much do you look at some of those crush numbers, et cetera, and how much does that play into the sunflower markets, John?
Well, we definitely look at all of that. You know, in the U.S., a lot of the basis for sunflower oil prices is based off of soy oil. I mean, because obviously it's the largest, most produced, highest production of oil in the U.S. and worldwide. And so it's something that definitely factors into seed prices, it factors into oil prices, because they are sort of the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And but the thing about soybeans is that their oil content is only about 18-20%, versus we're at 40%. So, you know, most of the value from beans comes from its meal, not the oil. But it does factor into everything that the whole overall world global market for oil looks at. And that is, right now, worldwide, we're looking at a shortage of sunflower, a shortage of rapeseed or canola oil. And so the thing is, the world traders are looking for soybean oil to pick up part of that slack. And, you know, even if we, you know, they're looking at a larger crush in beans overall. And it's one of those things that it definitely plays a role, because if buyers can't get the type of oil they usually want, you know, they're going to be looking for an alternative. So.
Well, I appreciate the thoughts as we kind of close out here today. I did want to ask you about this as well. I take a look at the Sunflower Highlights newsletter typically each and every week when it goes out. And I noticed that the research forum coming up in early January in Fargo, North Dakota, and you guys have a 2025 call for papers out if someone's interested in presenting at the research forum. Can you talk about that a little bit, John?
You know, the research firm that we put on every year is sort of like the main gathering spot for all sunflower researchers, whether they be from universities, from USDA, from other agencies. And what we're doing is we're asking presenters to, you know, whatever they've done on sunflower research, to put together a paper and then present that paper at the research forum. And to people who are in attendance, this is producers, industry members, and other researchers. And it's just a good gathering spot to kind of know what's going on as far as sunflower research, and an event that we do every single year that, you know, just tries to highlight, you know, the work that these researchers are doing.
Well, I know folks can learn more online, sunflowernsa.com. Again, that website, sunflowernsa.com. John, real quick too, we got about 30 seconds. I know there's been a lot of wildfire issues in Western North Dakota and through the plains. Any updates? Have you been affected, or folks you know been affected by those wildfires, John?
You know, fortunately, you know, those fires have really been in the grassland areas. You know, as far as cropping destroyed, very little has. In some areas where the fires were larger, yes, but for the most part, it's in grassier areas. It's really tough for cattle producers, obviously, you know, but it's something that it hasn't affected anybody's, you know, like towns or things like that yet. So hopefully, you know, we get a little bit of moisture here and that threat just kind of goes away.
Well, our thoughts are with folks being affected by those wildfires, no doubt. And again, folks can learn more, sunflowernsa.com. John Sambaca, National Sunflower Association. Appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us on AOA today.
Thanks, Jesse, for having me on your program.
Today's AOA, powered by Cenex. Keep your operation moving with Cenex Premium Diesel. Up next, we'll talk with Justin Tupper from the U.S. Cattlemen's Association here on AOA.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 9 to 21.13, December up 29 to 21.21, January up 27 to 20.59, February milk up 27 to 20.08. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets higher than nearby, lower in deferreds. Feeder cattle, though, were mostly lower on the day. The trades trying to remain patient, waiting for the cash markets to trade us, are hopeful for fundamental support will be strong again this week. Now, box beef prices were mixed on the day. Now, live cattle markets, again, while mixed, feeder cattle markets moved lower due to corn prices being mostly higher. The trade was somewhat timid due to the situation with the higher corn markets and really overbought conditions as well. Hog markets, meanwhile, mostly higher due to strength in the pork cutout values. October live cattle up 32 cents to 187.05. October feeder cattle down 42 cents to 246.10. December hogs up 247 to 77.70. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets higher on some export inspection numbers that were positive. Wheat markets were mostly higher. Higher Matif wheat prices supporting the market. Soybeans lower due to beneficial rains in South America. December corn up 3.5 to 404 and 3/4. November beans down 11 to 980. December wheat up 5.5 to 585.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, powered by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help fleets achieve superior strength and performance. Trust your local experts. Just go to Cenex.com or your nearest store for more information. Jesse Allen back with you here on AOA. Let's turn our attention to the cattle industry right now. Joining us for a conversation, he is the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, Justin Tupper. Justin, good to talk with you again. Welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, really good, Jesse. Thanks for having me. As you can probably hear, I'm delivering some calves north and west of Newcastle, Wyoming this morning. It was 32 degrees and a beautiful morning down here. So good to be with you.
Yeah, that sounds like a beautiful fall morning, a more typical fall morning to be out delivering some calves and doing some work, right, Justin? It's been pretty warm lately across much of the plains in the Midwest.
Yeah, we're ready. It's been really dry all the way through our trade area here. Got some chances of moisture the weekend. We're hoping we can settle the dust and help to move some of these calves down the line.
Definitely, definitely. Well, hopefully we can get some of that moisture as well. I know we've been fighting some wildfires, of course, in parts of the plains, North Dakota, into Wyoming, Montana, et cetera. So thinking about folks there, let's turn our attention to some issues on the policy side. And in particular, want to talk to you about the ear tag situation and the EID ear tag mandate from the USDA. Walk us through and remind folks your stance and the U.S. Cattlemen's Association stance on this ear tag situation, Justin.
Yeah, appreciate it. We had a big meeting in Rapid City, a joint meeting with RCAF and U.S. Cattlemen, fairly unprecedented in opposition. We had Harriet Hageman there to talk about her resolution to disapprove on this bill. One of the things, you know, as they switch to electronic ear tags, doesn't sound like a lot versus the metal bangs clips that we had, but the reasoning behind it is probably where we really oppose it. Is it going to lead to all classes of cattle? And really, there's no infrastructure. Their whole premise to doing it is because of better traceability. But we have a really good system in place with between Bangs tag, the metal clips and brands, and using the back tag system is through way up cows. They're sold through barns. We have a system that works, and they cannot tell us or prove to us, for that matter, that this electronic system is going to be better. And there's no infrastructure, so we can about guarantee that it's not better. And for a lot of those reasons, we can go on and on. Who holds the data being a huge, huge thing? You know, whoever holds this data has a lot of power, and we got to make sure that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands. And USDA has said to us when we've been there lobbying to get more information on the packer side that that's confidential information. Well, we argue that this is confidential information that nobody else should have here, too. So for those reasons, we oppose it. And we really would like everybody to get behind Harriet Hageman's resolution to disapprove this.
Justin, I'd love from your perspective for folks that maybe don't know, you run a sale barn in St. Ange, South Dakota. I mean, from the infrastructure perspective, with this going through with the electronic ear tags, et cetera, what kind of headaches would that create for you as you run a sale barn? Talk about that.
Yeah, great point. And really it puts the onus on the smaller producers too, because they don't have a way to do it. There's no way to get those tagged. And you get into other parts of the country where they don't tag as much as we do, it's even worse. So I'll just do a little background if you don't mind. In 2013, the compromise was that we would, anytime intact animals over 18 months of age moved interstate, that they would be ID'd, which poses a lot of problems. When we sell right here in St. Ange, it's a stone's throw to Wyoming and Montana. We sell a lot of those cows, and we have way-up cow sales that could have 2,000, 2,500 way-up cows, and they all have to be ID'd again after the sale. And if we have to use several different measures, including electronic and the old Bangs clips, they're going to let them be for their life, it's going to do nothing but slow down commerce. And we've got to put a stop to this overreach by the government. We think it's they want to use this information for a lot of other things than disease traceability.
We're talking with Justin Tupper, president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. With that resolution from Harriet Hageman, What's the word on that? As I know, we got an election in front of us and we got the lame duck session of Congress, et cetera. What's the status of that resolution right now? What have you heard lately?
Well, there's definitely some support in the Midwest. We need more. So if your congresspeople have not signed on, please make those calls and tell them you support that resolution. I think it's going to be tough to get it stopped before the implementation date here in November. But with elections, priorities change, different things change, offices change. So I think we've got to keep it at the front burner. Even if we don't get it stopped by implementation date, that maybe we can do something shortly thereafter as the election is right there, too.
All right. I want to talk about another separate, but I'd even say somewhat related issue in the industry, and that's some of the concentration on the meatpacking side. You think about the Big Four, and even just recently, we've seen a lawsuit from McDonald's against the Big Four. And you think about that and issues surrounding just the overall concentration in the industry. Talk about that from the perspective of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association and where things stand right now, Justin.
Yeah, I think it's a long-standing issue that we've worked really hard on. We've tried to get transparency. We've tried to work hard to get some of these smaller, more regional packers going. But it's a big problem. As we see McDonald's is suing them going out the back door, they want to defeat competition at all areas. That's what big business does, is squeeze out competition. And we want to make sure there is competition on both sides, whether it be selling the meat and all, definitely when they come to buy our product going in. We shouldn't be just viable when the numbers are in our favor like they are today. We should be able to be viable at all times and not just depend on the whims of those Big Four packers. So very interesting lawsuit that McDonald's has brung that says that they've conspired on those prices going out the back door of the packing plant. We've argued that they fired on those prices on the front door. So I think we're really starting to make some headway in this. They're very tough things to prove and very hard things to move forward. But the more that we can get the consumer to thinking the same way that we do, the better chance we have to get something done in this consolidation issue.
I think about some of these different issues as well that we're talking about here. And then you think about, we don't have a farm bill yet. I have to wonder, could some of these issues get tackled with a new five-year farm bill potentially, or does it feel like that some of these issues are going to have to be standalone in order to find the support it needs to maybe work its way into various legislation or whatever the case may be here, Justin?
Yeah, we have a great team works in Washington that knows more about that than I do, but I do know that to get some of these things done, to move them, it becomes easier sometimes if we can attach them in a farm bill and get support. Are we going to be able to get that done in this session? Nobody knows. We don't know if we're going to be able to push it through. Several of them would like to think we can still do it. I would say that it's very difficult from what our people are telling us in D.C. to get it done. But standalone issues are very tough, too, because, you know, each generation we get further removed from ag and there are very few ag senators, although they are very powerful. The ag senators that we do have are pretty prominent in the Senate, but there's less and less of them that know what ag is and what the business end of a cow would be. So those are tough issues. Again, that's why we have a team in Washington working that at all times with USCA, but hopefully we can attach something and we're going to keep making noise to try to get that done.
I want to ask you something as well here, and humor me for just a moment as we kind of close out the segment, but you mentioned this at the top, how the meeting you had in Rapid City a few weeks ago was USCA and RCAF together, and you mentioned the word unprecedented, and I wonder, we talked about this before, there's some divisions, I'd say, throughout the cattle beef industry and some of these big issues that are out there. What would it take to get all the players to sit down at a table and have a conversation about some of these big challenges and work together, Justin? Thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, that's been a goal of mine as president of U.S. Cattlemen, to use the issues that we agree on to work together to get something done, because we're small. The cattle industry itself as a whole is very small, so it's very difficult to get things done. We do need partnerships. You know, there's always going to be some division, but we should definitely not fight or disagree on things that we agree on, like ID. Now, we do have a couple of the cattle associations that have different views on this, but sitting down at a table and trying to hash those out and trying to move forward to better the producer, I think, is where we need to be, and we're always going to be trying to do that at U.S. Cattlemen.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts and your candor on that. Just something interesting that kind of popped into my head there as we're closing out the discussion. Well, I know you're busy, and thank you for the time here today on the show. Folks can find more at uscattlemen.org. With that, the president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, Justin Tupper. Justin, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
Thank you, Jesse, and thanks for all you do, and appreciate the time.
Justin Tupper with the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. Appreciate him being with us here today on AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel. Mitigate risk on the farm with premium diesel from Cenex. Go to Cenex.com or your nearest store for more information. Speaking of Cenex, coming up next, we're going to talk about some of their products. Austin Robita with Cenex will join us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Eric Hovde owns a $3 billion California bank. That's right, he owns it. And Hovde owns a $7 million California beachfront home. No wonder Eric Hovde's proposed spending $4 trillion in new tax breaks for super-rich guys like himself. That's trillion with a T. What's his plan to pay for all those tax giveaways? Hovde's plan would slash Medicare 25%, slash veterans 40%, slash Social Security by 28%. Eric Hovde's plan would cost Social Security beneficiaries $500 a month, $6,000 a year. It's outrageous. Eric Hovde's plan. New tax breaks for the rich and devastating cuts for the rest of us. Now we know what's wrong with Eric Hovde. He's definitely not for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Dollars, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. The United Soybean Board, your soy checkoff, is on a mission to deliver sustainable soy solutions to every life, every day, from food products to renewable fuels, tires, and beyond. For the next several weeks, tune into AOA on Thursday mornings for the Sustainable Soy Update Series. We'll visit with farmers and industry experts to discuss soy checkoff investments focused on the sustainable production of U.S. soy and how this builds markets and profit opportunities for farmers. For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Bargain tractor hydraulic fluids aren't worth the gamble. Trust Cenex quality fluids for performance you can rely on. Visit Cenex.com or your nearest Cenex store for more information. Well, it's almost that time of year again when cooler mornings and frosted windows are becoming more frequent, which means it's time to winterize your bulk diesel fuel tanks. And as temperatures continue to drop, one of the most important items to consider is how to protect your diesel fuel. Austin Robita, product manager for CHS Refined Fuels, is here to discuss what you need to know when winterizing your bulk fuel storage system. Austin, thanks so much for joining us here today on AOA. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Well, let's dive in here and talk about winterizing our bulk fuel storage. And first off, how does colder weather put fuel at risk, Austin?
Yeah, great question. Paraffin wax is present in number two diesel fuel. Under normal conditions, this wax remains in liquid form. But like any wax, as temperatures drop, the wax begins to form large, square-shaped structures that solidify. These structures cause fuel to gel and can clog fuel filters and the fuel system. While it can be difficult to pinpoint the specific temperature at which your diesel fuel will begin to gel, there are two main temperature points to be aware of. First, the cloud point. The temperature at which wax crystals begin to appear in diesel fuel. Second, the pour point. The temperature at which diesel loses its ability to flow. The difference between cloud point and pour point can vary greatly. So overall, to understand the cold weather properties of your fuel, a good best practice is to send in a fuel sample from your storage tank. Lastly, water contamination is another risk that may come with colder weather. Through condensation, moisture can seep into the tank. As temperatures rise and fall, water droplets form both inside and outside of the tank. This can affect the integrity of your fuel and can wreak havoc on your equipment. If temperatures drop below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, water in a tank or piece of equipment can freeze and plug filters up. Some think it is the fuel gelling, when in actuality, the water is freezing.
Well, Austin, thinking about all of that and colder weather, what is the first step farmers should take before winterizing those bulk diesel tanks?
Performing a visual inspection of your fuel storage is critical. Before winterizing your bulk diesel tanks, make sure to clean them to help prevent contamination. Some key visual inspection checkpoints to ask yourself also are, is there dirt and grime collected at any points on the tank? Are there any signs of leaking? Are there pools or puddles of fuel on the ground beneath the tank? Do I need to make any repairs to the delivery hose, the delivery nozzle, or other areas of the tank? Checking the storage tank bottoms for water and removing if present before temperatures dip below freezing is also critical.
Well, Austin, what preventative measures can be put in place to ensure your diesel fuel is protected?
To protect your fuel from gelling and avoid equipment failure in cold weather temperatures, a good rule of thumb is to switch to a winter fuel blend with a number one diesel when your current diesel fuel is at least 15 degrees above its cloud point to ensure it properly mixes together. So, when overnight temperatures begin to dip below 30 degrees Fahrenheit, it's time to switch to a specially formulated winterized premium diesel like Cenex Roadmaster XL and Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced Premium Diesel Fuel, or Cenex Wintermaster for the most extreme cold weather conditions. Cenex winterized premium diesel fuels are precisely formulated to ensure optimal power, performance, and protection, even in the most unforgiving winter conditions. Included in its additive package, Cenex premium diesel fuels contain a two-phase total water management system formulated to combat any water that may be present in your diesel fuel from things like condensation. The two-phase total water management system works to handle water with a demulsifier that separates the majority of water to the bottom of the tank for easy removal. Then, the advanced aggressive detergency package entrains any remaining negligible water for safe passage through the combustion chamber.
Well, Austin, where can people go to learn more information?
Your Cenex dealer is your partner and can help you find the best premium diesel fuel products for your farm. Visit Cenex.com to learn more about Cenex premium diesel fuel products and how they can help keep your operation running smoothly.
Well, with that, we appreciate the time. Austin Robita, Product Manager for CHS Refined Fuels. Thanks for joining us today on AOA. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
Once again, Austin Robita there with Cenex joining us here today on the program. One news note before we wrap up, a new Virginia Tech study shows a dramatic slowdown in agricultural productivity that threatens the world's ability to feed a growing global population and manage environmental challenges. That's according to the 2024 Global Agricultural Productivity or GAP report. The report says that while research, development, and high-tech farming tools are being developed at a steady pace, a substantial valley of death separates the development of new innovations from the people who need to adopt them. Agricultural total factor productivity growth is critical for ensuring that agriculture can meet the growing global demand for products by 2050. Tom Thompson, the report's executive editor, says, quote, global agricultural productivity growth has slowed from 1.9% annually during 2001 to 2010 to 0.7% annually during 2013 to 2022. This dramatic slowdown will prevent us from reaching our agricultural production and sustainability goals by 2050, with potentially dire impacts on food and nutrition security unless we reverse this trend, end quote. Again, that new report, 2024 Global Agricultural Productivity Report out from Virginia Tech. And with that, we are up against the clock. We're out of time here today on AOA, powered by Cenex. With harvest season in full swing, Cenex premium greases and premium diesels will keep your equipment and your operation moving as we work through the season. Trust your local experts. Go to your nearest Cenex store or Cenex.com for more information. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll talk with Heather Buchter from Clean Fuels Alliance America. Also, we'll have our latest sustainable soy update with the United Soybean Board. We'll talk markets, and we'll have a recap interview with Mark Kane of Central Minnesota. He's back home after his trip on a 1940 Farmall M from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico. All that coming up tomorrow on AOA. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers,
in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday.